Lessons from Flight 1549, How Airports Battle the Birds. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt. Frequently asked questions following the ditching of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 in January included, what are the airports doing about birds? Is there even anything they can do? Seattle-Tacoma International Airport in Washington State has been a test site for new avian radar, which may one day provide timely warning of the movement of flocks and birds for pilots. The U.S. House Aviation Subcommittee heard last month from SeaTac Managing Director Mark Rees on why conflicting state and federal laws sometimes block airports from doing all they can to mitigate bird hazards.
Mr. Chairman and Ranking Member Petrie, thank you for the opportunity to testify today on behalf of Airports Council International. I'm the Managing Director of Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, and I'm here today to describe how airports work to reduce the risks of aircraft wildlife strikes and to highlight the challenges we face in doing so. Flight 1549 accident has dramatically highlighted the threat posed by wildlife strikes. The number of these strikes reported to the FAA has more than quadrupled from 1,759 in 1990 to a record high of 7,666 in 2007. FAA strike data also indicate that most strikes take place at or near airports. Airports are important partners with the Federal Aviation Administration and the Department of Agriculture's Animal and Plant Inspection Service and Wildlife Services in mitigating the risks of that wildlife pose to aircraft operations. The FAA requires commercial service airports to undertake immediate action to alleviate wildlife hazards whenever they are detected. Airports are also required to have a qualified wildlife biologist conduct a wildlife hazard assessment in the event that an air carrier aircraft ingests wildlife into its engines, is substantially damaged by a wildlife strike, or experiences multiple wildlife strikes, or if wildlife are observed in a manner that could cause an aircraft to experience one of those situations. Oftentimes, airports then develop a wildlife hazard management plan. These plans contain specific actions to minimize or eliminate wildlife hazards through habitat modifications, land use changes, and wildlife population management. The cost of wildlife management programs vary considerably from airport to airport, but some airports spend $250,000 or more per year on their programs. Funds from the AIP can be used to pay for a portion of the costs associated with habitat modification projects and wildlife management equipment. However, ongoing operating expenses associated with these programs are typically not eligible for federal funding and are borne by airports themselves. At SeaTac, we have an extensive program to manage wildlife hazards in place for over 30 years. SeaTac is located in a highly urbanized area of western Washington, about 2 miles east of Puget Sound, and in one of North America's four major migratory bird flyways. SeaTac has implemented a number of measures to prevent wildlife strikes. For example, our landscaping includes only plants that do not produce fruits, nuts, or berries. Grass is kept at an optimal height to decrease wildlife use of the airfield for food and cover. We have also developed our own specialized grass mix that is wildlife resistant. We also actively work to harass and relocate problem species we find on the airport. The airport holds permits issued by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that allows us to harass certain bird species, relocate raptors, and lethally remove individual migratory birds that lose their flight-fright response. We have incorporated wildlife management considerations into our wetland mitigation efforts and our stormwater facility designs. For example, stormwater ponds were designed with liners and netting specifically to exclude wildlife and the aquatic vegetation that attracts it. We have recently created, within a few hundred yards of our new runway, 60 acres of wetlands that are specifically designed so as not to attract birds. In cooperation with researchers at the University of Illinois, we are exploring enhanced wildlife monitoring through the use of an avian radar system that was installed in August of 2007. This system acts like a powerful pair of eyes capable of seeing farther and higher than a human observer 24 hours a day. Data from the system is being used to help confirm that hazardous bird activity is not increasing near the airport's stormwater ponds and to help identify wildlife trends. However, avian radar is not yet a silver bullet solution that can be used by pilots and air traffic controllers to avoid birds in real time. I want to address three key challenges that airports face in our efforts to manage wildlife hazards: off-airport land use, conflicting and overlapping regulations, and funding. First, local zoning and permitting practices can result in the construction of wildlife attractants near airports. Our aviation system would benefit if airports had stronger mechanisms to control land uses in their vicinity when safety is at stake. Another issue involves complex and often contradictory federal, state, and local laws and regulations regarding wildlife management and habitat protection. In some cases, state laws restrict the type of trapping methods that airport officials can use to manage wildlife and the use of lethal removal, even when such actions are permitted under federal law. In the case of Sacramento International Airport, the risk of criminal prosecution by state officials resulted in the airport ceasing certain wildlife removal and harassment activities. Airports in Florida have encountered a similar situation and are working with the state legislature to remedy it. The Clean Water Act and National Environmental Policy Act requirements relating to wetlands can make it difficult, expensive, and time-consuming for airports to modify wildlife-attracting wetlands on and near airports and to reduce wildlife strike risks. Providing simpler, streamlined permitting and environmental review processes when safety is at stake would help airports manage wildlife hazards more consistently with federal aviation regulations. Finally, airports, especially smaller airports, need funding to implement and maintain effective wildlife management programs.
In a moment, we'll hear from the chairman of Bird Strike Committee USA. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to Lessons from Flight 1549, a special feature from Aero News. Bird strikes have always been a risk in aviation. Why are the reports of strikes increasing lately? Could it be wildlife restoration efforts have been too successful? Here's the congressional testimony of Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport's John Ostrom.
Chairman Costello, Ranking Member Petri, and members of the House Transportation Infrastructure Subcommittee on Aviation, thank you for inviting me to participate in this hearing. My name is John Ostrom, and I'm the Manager of Airside Operations for the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. I am also proud to serve as the Chairman of Bird Strike Committee USA, and am testifying today on behalf of this organization. Bird Strike Committee USA was established in 1991 as an independent, nonprofit organization dedicated to providing leadership to the aviation wildlife hazard management community. Our focus is on the exchange of information, training and education, and the promotion of research and development to reduce the threat of wildlife hazards to aircraft operations. Bird Strike Committee USA is directed by a steering committee comprised of representatives from the Department of Defense, the Federal Aviation Administration, the United States Department of Agriculture's Wildlife Services, the aviation industry, and U.S. airports. From the dawn of aviation to the present day, wildlife has posed a significant threat to aircraft and to the passengers they carry. However, the threat has significantly increased in recent years as a result of highly successful environmental programs during the past 40 years that have resulted in dramatic increases in populations of many bird species in North America that are hazardous to aircraft. For example, 24 of the 36 largest bird species in North America have shown significant population increases in the past 30 years, and only three species have shown declines. The non-migratory population of Canada geese has quadrupled from 1 million to 3.9 million birds in the USA from 1990 to 2008. Over the past 18 years, our organization and its members have worked diligently to bring awareness of this increasing problem to the forefront of the aviation industry. We have made significant progress, but have much still to do to realize our vision fully. On August 22, 2007, then-Chairman of Bird Strike Committee, USA, Dr. Richard Dolbia sent a letter to Vice-Chairman Robert Sumwalt of the National Transportation Safety Board. In it, Dr. Dolbia expressed grave concerns regarding continuing hazards to aviation from conflicts with wildlife, especially birds. We asked for a further review of National Transportation Safety Recommendations A-99-86 through -94 that were issued on November 19, 1999. In the letter, we identified five significant strike events that occurred between September 2005 and June 2007 that were at least as serious as those encounters which triggered the board's recommendation in 1999. We also acknowledged the work done by the Federal Aviation Administration to improve wildlife control at airports by the then recent update of Title 14, Code of Federal Regulations, Part 139, which included increased guidance on how airport operators must mitigate wildlife hazards. Some of our specific concerns then and now are that there has never been a joint industry government body established to address or even define the issue. There is no recognized metric or standard to judge whether conditions are improving or worsening. And there is no comprehensive industry government plan to address the hazard to aircraft and human life. In 2008, Bird Strike Committee USA reorganized to better address the changing needs of the aviation, safety, and wildlife management industries. As part of that effort, we identified for seven goals. For the sake of brevity, I would like to focus on three of those goals, specifically 2, 6, and 7. Number two, serve as the liaison to national and international bird strike committees and to other professional aviation and wildlife organizations. Six, promote the collection and analysis of accurate wildlife strike data for military and civil aviation in the USA as a foundation for A, understanding the nature of strike hazards, B, developing effective and appropriate management programs, and C, evaluating the efficacy of management programs. Goal 7, anticipate future wildlife challenges to aviation and provide leadership in promoting education, research, and development of effective methods for reducing wildlife hazards to aviation. In conclusion, significantly reducing the aircraft wildlife strike will require a collaborative effort by all aviation stakeholders with a major investment in education and research and development. Chairman Costello, Ranking Member Petri, and members of the House Transportation Infrastructure Subcommittee on Aviation, I'd like to thank you again for allowing me the opportunity to testify about the work being done by the volunteers of Bird Strike Committee USA to reduce the hazards to aviation posed by wildlife. We welcome the opportunity to continue working with you to ensure that our skies remain safe. Thank you.
This will wrap up Lessons from Flight 1549, our series based on the congressional testimony surrounding the miracle on the Hudson. The opportunities to learn from the event, however, are far from over. If you want to see the unedited testimony of any of the experts profiled in this series, you'll find an FMI link in the data block which accompanies this Aerocast. It will take you to the video archives of the February 24th hearing before the U.S. House Aviation Subcommittee. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.